Morning.
I see each one made the effort to come out this morning. If you have a Bible, I'll get you to turn with me. For our first reading, we're going to read a number of passages this morning. The first one is one verse in Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Before we begin reading, if you are a visitor here this morning, and I don't see too many visitors, but if you are here this morning, you'll notice that there's no collection here. We're not looking for your money. We're not looking for your membership. We're looking here this morning to present a truth from the Word of God by means of a number of scriptures, and hopefully they will come together to make sense to you this morning. But this morning, we're simply going to speak to you about your soul. In order to understand what that means, maybe you're not understanding the idea of a soul, I'm going to define that. By definition, the seat of the responsive element in man, that by which he perceives, reflects, feels, desires, it's who you are, a soul. So in light of that, hopefully that brings a little clearer, it's who you are this morning. In light of that, we're going to read three short little passages that speak about the soul. The first one is in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man became a living soul. We're not like the animals. We perceive things, we have a personality, and we're created by God. Second thing I want you to take note of this morning, and turn quickly over to the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke. If you don't have a Bible, just listen very carefully. I'm going to read from two verses out of a passage in Luke chapter 16. We're going to read two verses there. And the second point about the soul, it is that it is eternal. The soul is eternal. That means it's not just about the life that we're living now, it's about life after death. The soul is eternal. Speaking of two men that passed through death's door and into eternity, and it says this, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Point here is, the soul lives on after death. So the first thing is that we are a living soul. Secondly, is that we have an eternal soul. And the third point, before we get into our main passage here this morning, is each soul is accountable to God. Let's turn to our main passage this morning, Luke chapter 16, you're right there. Luke chapter 12, we're going to read five verses there, starting at verse 15. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things in which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Excuse me, I'm just going to turn this on, I forgot. "And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Each soul is accountable to God. We're just going to take a few sayings out of these few verses here this morning. The first one we're going to talk about is that this individual thought within himself. And he proceeded to say, this will I do. And he goes on to say, I'm going to take my ease, drink, and be merry. And the fourth thing we want to talk about is what the response of the Lord Jesus was to this individual. He said, thou fool. We were created by God as a living soul. We have an eternal soul, and we are accountable to God. He thought within himself. He had an opinion. This man had an opinion. He thought within himself, I have a plentiful crop. No, nothing wrong with that. He was a good farmer, I suspect. He had a plentiful crop. And he thought within himself, what am I going to do with all the goods that I have? He had a logical train of thought, didn't he? He thought, well, I have these goods. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build new. He had an opinion of what he ought to do. In reference to yourself, you might think quite highly, but the question is, what does God think about your soul? This individual had an idea how to take care of himself. The Word of God says that your soul is dead in trespasses and sin. Before I go on, I'm just thinking to myself here. This is the Word of God that we're speaking about from this morning. This is the Word of God. And I can try to be, to you, interesting. And I can try to be a man of great conviction here this morning. But I want you to understand this morning that the truths that we're speaking out about this morning come from God Himself. That's very important. These things that we're speaking of this morning come from God Himself. This man had lots to sustain himself. And I would ask the question, we live in a day and age, and myself included, where we have lots. We have lots. We don't think about our next meal, do we? We are very self-sufficient in North America. We have plenty. Maybe some more than others, but we don't look for our next meal. Here's a quote from the book of Isaiah, speaking about what God thinks. How does God think? If we think like that, what does God think? This is what Isaiah the prophet would say, speaking of the Lord. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't think like God. That's what the verse is saying. We don't think like God. So it would be very important if we understand that we have a living soul, that we have an eternal soul, and that we're accountable to God for what we do with this life and the things contained in this life. Would it not be important to understand how God thinks about that, those things? What is his level of thinking? If they're not our thoughts, if they're not our ways, I would suggest this morning it would be pretty important to understand what God thinks about you. How does God see you here this morning? I would suggest it's ultimately important to know what God thinks. There was a man in the New Testament, Nicodemus, a religious person. And he heard about the Lord Jesus. And it was said he wanted to, this man, the Lord Jesus, to teach him. He thought he had to be taught by this one called the Lord Jesus. And what did the Lord Jesus say to Nicodemus? I'm sure he set him in his tracks. He says, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Nicodemus wanted to be taught. And the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, I could teach you all day. And I could do that this morning. I don't know everything, but we could teach you all day. But the Lord Jesus said this to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And we're going to explain what that means. Ye must be born again. This man in our parable said, this will I do. You know, he was a good businessman. He had a logical train of thought. He had a great year. Year end was good. He made lots of money. In our terms, he did well. And so he says, this will I'll do. This is what I'm going to do. The problem is he didn't think about anything else. He didn't have God in the equation. And he proceeded to do what was logical in his mind. He was a mover. He was smart. I'm going to store up. I'm going to save. I'm going to prepare. We can relate to that. In this world, we can relate to that, can't we? We'll prepare. And many people, maybe you here this morning, are preparing for your life, your eternal soul, only in time. And you don't think about the fact that you have an eternal soul. It said he had much goods laid up for many years. Now, I don't know what that many would depict. Many years, maybe 10, maybe 5. But the bottom line is he had lots. He had lots. And it reminds me of a young ambitious man, or the idea of a young guy that has lots of ambition. And he's got a trade, and he's smart, and he's a thinker, and he's skilled, and he's going to use his skills, and he's going to build a business with his skill, because he's sharp, he's got a good business sense, and he's going to move ahead, and he's going to hire people, and he's going to be successful. You can see it, it's written all over him. He's got a good step about him. And he proceeds to do that. And he builds his business based on his talents. And they're great. And he gets good people around him. And he's successful. And he retires with bags of money. And then he dies. His soul is eternal. Where will that have gotten him before a God in whom he has to deal with? He had enough for his children to take care of them. And maybe that's your thought here this morning. I want to be successful to help my kids. With all due respect, it's not about your kids. We're talking about individuals. We're talking about you. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God deals with people on an individual basis. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, when life draws to a close, whether by an accident or whatever, when your life draws to a close, then what? You see, contentment in things without God is a very dangerous position to be in. Maybe you're very content this morning. Maybe your career is going exactly the way you planned. And you're content. This man says he was going to take his ease. He was going to take his ease. He was going to be happy in the state that he was. I would suggest that this man almost became complacent. He took his ease. Drink and be merry. This man in this story, he's telling himself these things, isn't he? It's not coming from the outside. He's thinking to himself, I've done well. I'm successful. I'm going to take my ease. That's his opinion on life. I'm going to take it easy. I've arrived. I believe this man had a clouded judgment on his soul. Suddenly, in this parable, God says this to him, thou fool, thou fool. What is a fool? A person whose plans end at the grave. I talked to an individual the other day. We weren't even, I forget exactly the context, but he said, I'm going to live for today. I'm going to live for today because you know what? I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And you know what? I would have to agree with him. He wasn't guaranteed tomorrow, and so he was going to live life to the fullest today. And isn't that the mentality of the vast majority of people out there? I'm going to live for today because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I will say this, they're right halfway. They are not guaranteed tomorrow, and you're not guaranteed tomorrow. But you have an eternal soul that will live on. And you are accountable to a holy, righteous God. This man was awakened or addressed very suddenly. He didn't expect that kind of a comment. It was very suddenly. And he said, thou fool, tonight it's all over. I want you to answer this question this morning. You don't have to audibly answer to me, but answer it to yourself. If God could come down, or God could speak to you individually this morning and tell you at 6 o'clock tonight, it's all over. It's death. You're going to be killed in a car accident. It's all over. 6 o'clock tonight, your life is ended. Where would you spend eternity with your eternal soul? Answer it, because you know what? It is absolutely the most important thing that you will ever deal with this side of eternity. Where will you spend it? Don't turn away from it. Answer it. Where will you spend eternity? Time's up. We all have, we don't all, but many of us have pets. We don't, but I'm sure many homes have pets. And when a pet passes away, it can be pretty traumatic. I'm not a very sympathetic person when it comes to animals, but that's a terrible thing in a home when you've grown close to a dog or a cat, I suspect, or whatever. But you know what? They don't have a soul. When men and women pass into the next life, it's an eternal soul that will live on. God created man and breathed into his nostrils, it says, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to tell you this morning, God's desire is for you to spend eternity with him. A quote from the Gospel of John says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This man also said in the parable, it said he was going to take his ease, eat and drink and be merry. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. In Revelation it says, and let him that is athirst come and drink, and never thirst again. You see, this man was a prosperous man. He was an earthly-minded man. He was a presumptuous man. He was a foolish man. And he was a lost man. Are you lost this morning? Psalm 142, verse 4 reads this, look, I looked on my right hand, and behold, and beheld, and there was no man that would know my refuge. Sorry. And no man that would know me, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I'm going to take the remainder of the time, and we're going to be done early. We got 15 minutes. I'm going to explain to you, or try to, about this one called the Lord Jesus. And what does his soul say to you this morning? You know what? The Lord Jesus came down from heaven and he had a soul. He could think, he could smell. This was the Creator. He took upon himself the form of man and became a soul. He had a soul just like you and I. He had a personality. And if you read the Word of God, you can understand many things about his personality. Well, he was perfect. But he had a personality. I think of a verse, and I've been thinking about this verse quite a bit in the last couple days. It says this, the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. He had a personality of good. He was full of goodness. He was forgiving. He was long-suffering. Means he put up with a lot on this earth because he was perfect. And he walked among men and women who were imperfect. And he was patient. He was perfect in all these things that we've just said. He was a perfect man. And I suspect he even had a sense of humor. But he was God. And so this personality, who took upon a form of a man and had a soul, had a plan. And it says in the Word of God, in reference to the plan of salvation, that the soul of the Lord Jesus, his personality, remember, became very heavy. And he became very troubled. This is the one who is God, manifest in flesh, or brought forth in flesh. He became very heavy and very burdened. And he felt the weight of what was in front of him. What was it? He was anticipating something that he would do so that men and women could be saved, could be made right before God. Because way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had fallen short, had disobeyed God and separated themselves from God. And we sit here this morning at the Charlottetown Bible Chapel, and we've inherited a nature that is separated from God. And the Lord Jesus, his soul, his personality, he became very heavy, anticipating the work of Calvary. And so as he walked the earth, he ministered to people. He healed the sick, the blind. And when he came to deal with me, he was very long-suffering. because I was raised in a setting such as this for many years, knowing the truth that Jesus loved me and he gave his life so that I could be free. And time again, as he dealt with John DeVries, and as I turned my back on him numerous times, he was patient. And his desire from the Word of God, he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that anyone here this morning should suffer judgment for their sin. And so as he anticipated the cross, I want to read a couple quotes. This is speaking about the soul of the Lord Jesus. He became exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. What does that mean? How could someone become so distraught that he was close to death? He was troubled. And he ultimately gave his life so that we could be set free. I don't know how more plainly I can say that. He ultimately gave up his life so that we could be set free. Do you know anyone else like that? Oh, there's many that give up their lives for some cause. But this was the cause for mankind. This was to set mankind free. If you know of anyone else, I'd like to hear about him. Because there's no one that loves your soul more than the Son of God. And you have an opportunity here this morning to simply appreciate him. That's what salvation is. It's just appreciating what he has done for you. It's turning from your sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how convincing I have been this morning. I don't know how clear I've been. But Jesus Christ loves you. He gave everything for you. You have an eternal soul. And if you walk out of those doors this morning and not trust him, you're a fool. Because you've only prepared yourself for time, and you haven't prepared yourself for eternity. Think about it. Thou fool, this day, thou soul, your soul, I'll require it. You'll be accountable to me. And in the state you're in, that's the state you'll be. And you'll pay in a place called hell, as the rich man did, for all eternity. That's plain language. That's the language of Scripture. God loves you. His desire is for you to trust him as his Savior. And there are huge, monumental consequences to refusing that message. Condemnation, judgment, hell. Trust him. I'll tell you, you know what? September 10th, 1988. I didn't know everything about the Bible, and you don't need to know everything about the Bible either. You don't have to become religious. You don't have to join this assembly. We don't want your money. Just trust Christ, and you will be saved for all eternity. And you'll come to know from this book what that means. Tremendous thing to be saved. I trust you'll trust him this morning. Or think about it. Let's just pray. Father, we have a tremendous Savior. We're thankful that he came down and became like one of us. He had a soul. He was eternal. He was the Son of God. And his desire for each one here this morning is to appreciate the sacrifice for sin. And Father, understand that we are separated from God, and that, Father, we can be brought back to him by repenting of our sin and relying on the work of Calvary, the cross where Jesus bore the judgment on our behalf. Father, maybe there's someone in our audience this morning that is playing church. They don't look any different than us. They've never seen themselves as a sinner for whom Christ died. Father, may they see themselves that way this morning. We thank thee for this country that we live in. We're thankful that we can preach this without persecution. Father, we are a blessed nation indeed. Bless your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if we just might sing one hymn. Hymn number 221. We'll sing all three stanzas and the meeting will be over. Thank you for coming.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me.
Say.